agenda?
So moved.
The motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Now it's time for public comment at this time. For items not listed on the agenda, if you're here for an agenda item, you might as well wait till that item. Committee has a limit of speakers no more than 3 minutes. You can't take action on any item that isn't agendized, but the public input can be offered on the agenda if we can possibly do an agenda item some other time. Is there any public comment? Anyone else?
Mine's for SB 11-2.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you have an item here.
That's on the agenda?
Which item is it? So don't mess you up.
Item five.
Item five, SB 11-52, which is regarding the discharge plan by the hospitals.
Okay, all right.
I brought up something.
No, if it's that, if that's the item you want to speak on, and at that point, we'll call you back. Thank you very much.
Thanks, sir.
Anyone else? How about a motion to approve the minutes of the FNA committee from February 12th?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The Hospital Government Affairs Committee, really interesting. I wasn't at that meeting, I wasn't a committee member then, so. Was anybody here? Were you there?
All right.
Let's just forward them to the board for approval.
No. Oh, I'm sorry, for the minutes.
For just the minutes on, so I'm under 4-2, the approval of them, and these committees merged together, and this is the first time we've been the merged committee.
Correct.
For those of you who aren't confused about what's going on. Let's then go to the Hospital Governance and Oversight Committee, SB 11-12.
Okay, so I'll do my part with that first. So in the Hospital Governance and Oversight Committee meeting last month, it was discussed about regarding the SB 11-52, which is talking about the discharge plans that are required for the hospitals. And you know, we could probably be good to get just a little bit of an update from our partner with the hospital. But just for me first is the communication from us is that at the committee meeting was requested that we have Kevin Ford, who is a regional vice president of Riverside and San Bernardino County's California Hospital Association. We requested that he come in and give us a presentation regarding this situation. And so he will be at our May, whatever the next May
committee. The May is committee.
Yeah, I think it's the May 14th. So just wanted to communicate that with the committee. And then, Michelle, would you mind giving just a little overview of the 11-52, what that's?
Well, I think that the actual agenda topic at the governance committee was the annual update on the maintenance of the charity care policies at Desert Regional. And then the conversation moved to the new discharge regulations. And so that's when it was suggested that Kevin be brought in as an expert. I mean, we have been tracking compliance with this particular new regulation, but I didn't bring my background data with me, so I'd be a little bit of loss to.
So I candidly don't know a lot about the new regulation.
It's a new regulation where we do a screening to identify individuals who are homeless. And then through that screening, there's new regulations about offering of food, clothing, how you go about planning the discharge disposition and transportation. There's a component of the regulations that went into effect in the 1st of January, and then there's another component that goes into effect in mid-year around July 1st. So we've implemented, per the new regulations, all the components that take place in the 1st of January. We did report at the district board meeting, as well as some of the governance, that we're averaging about 100 plus discharges that meet the homeless regulation definitions per month. And that includes discharge from emergency rooms as well as discharge from inpatient. And then we've provided some statistics as to the services that individuals are accessing, because they do have the right to participate in their discharge plan, and they have their right to either accept or not accept some of the planning and recommendations that the caregivers present.
Great.
And so the governance committee had talked about maybe wanting to take a look at what some of the best practices are in the community. And so there was conversation about maybe there's some things that Eisenhower's doing that's best practices, maybe there's some things that Desert's doing that's best practices. And so what we recommended is, since we all work with the Hospital Association in Riverside, that they really would be the governing authority to present to the group and to talk about what they have seen as some best practices in implementing these regulations.
Okay.
Do they also deal with county hospitals?
County hospitals are our members.
Our county hospitals part of HASS? Yes.
Okay, great. Yes. Thank you.
And then President Zindel, who was the prior chair, had also requested, once Kevin Porter and the Hospital Association has completed their presentation, that Eisenhower also provide an update as well.
Part of the district, because we're tracking as a system with Health Desert Care Network between JFK, Desert Regional, and High Desert.
Good. Is this the item you wanted to comment
on? Yes, it is.
Go ahead.
So I'm Dr. Catherine Sullivan. I'm a Medicare expert on homeless, mental illness. I'm a neurorehabilitation professional. So in terms of expert, I am the expert in Medicare, and I'm also the expert in Medi-Med, which is Medi-Cal, Medicare, right? The current situation in the homeless is limited now to county services, and it's not, there's no way to get to the Medi-Med, the dual eligibles, Medicare services. So I have for you, and we can make this a presentation at the next meeting, I guess, that I'm here to say that I moved my practice from Los Angeles County to here. My family's had a place here since 1988. I'm a doctor, and there's a shortage of doctors here. And the shortage of doctors is the shortage of Medicare doctors. But we have another problem, which is we have a shortage of Medicare facilities for Medicare doctors to work in. And so what I'm suggesting is that the district add a Medicare facility. It's called the CORF, and the details here. And that would actually be the appropriate discharge placement for any person who's has a questionable discharge plan, whether they're a county patient or whether they're from Rancho Mirage, where I'm from. And I'm saying that when I came here, I was surprised that we didn't have a Medicare rehabilitation center, which is what the district needs. So it's a wonderful opportunity, I think, for us to integrate the county services with the Medicare services. It'll be a fabulous way to attract world-class doctors here, because they need a world-class place to work, and they have to be in an outpatient ambulatory care center that's compliant with Medicare Part B. And it's a good solution for everybody. So whatever you need from me, I'll leave my information. If you want to put me on the next calendar agenda, that'd be fine, but everything is appropriate.
So that, just candidly, and thank you for your comments. For me, this is all new territory. I'm learning new things about a new law. I'm familiar with the, now that you mentioned the law, what's going on, but our actual implementation.
We're in healthcare reform, so we all
right.
know.
Right, we're all learning.
Yeah, we're all learning.
If you've got materials you'd like to let us copy and leave, so that we can educate ourselves, that would be great.
That would be
Andrea, and we can make, you can give us original, we can give them back, or however you want. So that we're sort of prepared, and it sounds like we have a presentation at the next meeting, and we'll go from there.
Perfect.
All right, thank you. Any further on that?
Good.
CEO report.
Okay, we have with us Jeff Hawker, who has been heading up the Palm Springs Health Run Fitness.
That's Jeff Hawker.
Yes, kind of formerly the mayor's race. Kind of health issue.
Yeah. Health yes.
Yeah, thank you. And so, and thank you, Jeff, for kind of taking over that role and continuing the Health Run and Fitness Expo. And Jeff has a little presentation for us that we thought would be fitting for.
Yeah, and just a couple comments. The Palm Springs Health Road and Fitness Expo happens in January, and anybody who does events knows that it takes a while to get all the sponsors to put in their money and the vendors and all that kind of stuff. So I finally got all the finances in order and contacted Chris and said, I want to present you a check. The event has grown exponentially over the last couple of years. This year we added in an award ceremony where we honored Lauren Del Sardo from Desert Health and Crystal Granados, the executive director for United Way of the Desert, which I'm on the board of United Way. And a great tie-in with the homeless is that this year we had everybody donate socks and shoes for the homeless to be donated through United Way. This year we added on a weekly walk with United Way where they fully integrated their weekly walks into our event. Next year, we've already talked with the Tour de Palm Springs. They want to do a training ride with our event, as well as do a half marathon with our event as well. So this continues to grow. I think having the partnership with Desert Healthcare District has helped in that effort. It's been a great partnership over the years, and we look forward to that growing. So with no further ado, here's a check for $2,000. And we hope that number will grow over the years. And actually, we have shirts and backpacks for everybody. What we did this year is the Desert Healthcare District's logo and everything, and CB Hip was on there. We had a booth there. So thanks again for all of your support.
Thank you.
Good.
CEO, anything else in your report?
Yes, one other thing. And this kind of a two-part deal is that the policies committee has been working on updating policies, and one of the policies is appointment duties for committees. And this actually was brought to the board last month, but there's a section regarding the finance and administration committee, as well as the hospital governance and oversight, which we just discussed, have been consolidated. And what I wanted to ask of the committee is there was consideration to add three community members to the Finance Administration Committee, and would like to have that feedback or discussion whether the committee would like to add three members. We currently have one of our longstanding members, and we do have a second, Arthur Shore, who is actually going to be out of town, out of the country for a period of time, and wanted to understand if the committee still wants to continue with three community members. If so, then we will keep that in the policy that will be reviewed again next week with the policies committee and ultimately by the board.
I have one to suggest. I mentioned it to Mark. Just spoke with Dick Grundy, and he might be amenable to this. He just lost his wife recently, mm-hmm. and I don't think he's doing very much of anything. I had lunch with him just recently, and I was talking about this, but I'll call him and I'll talk to him.
Mm-hmm. And what part of the policy is to kind of make it a fair thing? We put out an advertisement to the community, get applicants. And then, like we did before, we were in that process where the committee actually interviewed community members and then selected from that process to then recommend to the board to add to our community members on this committee. So just wanted committee's input on that. And
so this is the first time this committee's been together under this particular arrangement.
Correct. And so it incorporates.
Can you explain kind of how that happened? Or would you rather not?
I think you were just as communication wise as we were.
But okay. Just to cut to it, I think we need to throw this into our strategic planning effort and go, does this really make sense that suddenly hospital governance and whatever is thrown at the bean counters? And I mean, I've done both. I'm particularly good at counting money now. I'm not so good at, the last time I was at a hospital board was quite a while ago. don't go there?
I think the reason behind it, coming from President Wortham, is that since this committee is finance, administration, legal, real estate, that real estate meaning hospital, that, you know, it fell under, you know, the administrative part with real estate, et cetera. So
I guess in its simplest form, would you communicate to the president that I'd really like to discuss this at the strategic planning? Because it seems to me, bean counting and is the roof leaking is much different than governance and oversight of whether it be the medical staff executive committee, whether what's going on in the end.
Well, and that's the governing board.
Yeah, no, I got you. But the stuff eventually can float up.
But this is from the governance and oversight is more just lease related. So compliance with the lease, that the operators are providing the insurance coverages, the reporting that is subject to the lease, and kind of more importantly, what the committee has begun is a quarterly hospital inspection, and so we have an independent party that is doing those inspections. There's district staff as well as board members that participate on those inspections and get reported back to what would be this committee now. So it's not anything to do with the operations of the hospital or the operator. It has to do with, you know, the lease part of it. And also, I think that's what was looked at, was that with lease, potential lease issues coming up in the not too distant future, that this could be a committee then to include
so
that.
If someone has a complaint about something to do with the hospital, where would that complaint first start?
Our policy has to where the complaint would come through to the CEO, and then the CEO would communicate parallel to the hospital CEO, and if it's, you know, related to essentially anything other than operations, or specifically other than operations, which the district has no legal obligation to there through the lease. So with safety concerns, things like that, then we would communicate to the CEO or the hospital, that information would get reported back and then disseminated to our board members. And then,
because I concur with Chair that I would like to have this topic discussed at our strategic planning, because I haven't attended either one of the committee meetings before. This is my first one. But I am a little bit concerned about if they actually go together. I had originally signed up for the finance and administration thinking that this was going to be more of a overview of how we're doing fiscally, and now it's the other thing. So I'm not sure. I just want to make sure that they go together. Also when we have the community members, I always welcome volunteers and another pair of eyes and to be part of the process, but I'm not sure if the community members would have the same interest in all of these topics. Like somebody joked about, this is the longest committee, so many different things that are charged to this one committee. I think it will be a good discussion to see whether they really go together.
I would recommend bringing it to the Communications and Policy Committee, which I think that's where it lies in that policy committee, which we will include that for next Tuesday's meeting. And then, you know, ultimately coming back to the board, because I think it should come through the committee's recommendation in conjunction with the F&A committee's recommendation as well. So,
any further questions? Can I move on? Are you finished?
I'm finished.
Okay, then we're at. Do we technically do the chief financial officer report?
That was on my report.
So okay, the 11th. Any questions on leasing? Page 11. Let's then go to the financial reports. So there's a bunch of reports here for those who are new to the committee. The district and the Las Palmas Medical Class financial statements are 12 to 22, And typically what we do is go, anybody got any questions and see anything that, that jumps out at them that they have concerns about? And I look for the parentheses on the right for big gross numbers. And not too bad.
This is the first time that I've looked at these and nothing really stood out. I mean, I think after a few months that I'll be able to see some trends. But is there anything that is of concern at this point that that I should be at this point?
Would you guys, if you could speak up a little bit louder, I couldn't hear you, Letty.
Okay, this is Letty, and I'm just mentioning the fact that this is the first time that I have reviewed these reports, and I know that over the next 2 or 3 months that I'll start becoming familiar with them and seeing where trends are. So I'm just asking staff right now if they have anything that they've been watching that just to bring my attention to, so that it makes a little bit more sense for next month when I start making comparisons.
Sure. Oh, great point. Just a highlighted overview. If you go to page 13 of the packet, and there's nothing concerning or alarming, but just so that you have an overview of what's going on here. So we typically track quite well with our budget and that, so some things can deviate, but in this instance, it's kind of favorable. If you look at the income line 4,000, we're above budget right now, 1.4 million, and part of that, or mostly of that, is due to our investment accounts, where we were invested in bonds and very secure types of interest. We were, in prior years, buying at a high coupon rate for a higher rate of return on that bond as far as an interest rate. But we also had losses on when it came time for the sale. We bought at a higher rate, so we sold at less than what we paid for. So we changed, the committee and the directors changed that philosophy 3 or 4 years ago to where we're buying closer to par now. And so those unrealized gains are starting to become, or the realized gains are becoming less and less. So there wasn't a good way to really project when those were starting to really fall out of the process. So I was budgeting conservatively that, and so it's coming in more favorably than had originally planned. So it's a good thing there. The direct expenses, line 5,000, is less than our budget, mostly due to not having the CEO salary, so we're down one less position. Other general administrative expenses, we're lower on. Professional fees, we're under on year to date. And the grant expense is under by 1.3 million, but now that we have program committee back in function, we are bringing forward some grants that will be potentially approved and processed in this current fiscal year to apply to our grant budget. So that's kind of a high level overview of where we're at.
Thank you.
Then we got that receivables. We just fed apparently me. District deposits, 24 to 25. Any questions there? Property tax receipts on 26. Always good to hear ahead there. Las Palmas Medical Plaza on 27 and 29. Good building to own. The check register on 30 and 32 just actually shows who checks that actually went to. Are you signing checks for TC?
No.
We all can, and it's, you know, you kind of, when you get drug in here for the second signature or something, it gives you kind of a, well, it's a protection. You kind of learn what goes through regularly, and directors are signing checks here.
So I did notice that one of the board members had signed a check, a reimbursement check for me, so I thought that was kind of a little bit odd. So there is a requirement for a second signature for everything?
Well, it's a, there's only two signatures on checks greater than 5,000, but only authorized check signers will sign any checks. So the directors, and we, for right now, we've kind of kept it at the four that are were check signers before, kind of more for convenience. You know, the newer directors that, you know, aren't always available. So we haven't gone through that because it sounded like Director Matthews was explaining it well, that, you know, every time there's a change in the board, we're bringing in, you know, new signature cards, et cetera. So so we've maintained that as the current ones for now. But it's a check and balance situation for us. So I, as the CFO, am not a check signer. We do have the separate CEO as a check signer. But that's part of our controls and our checks and balances with regard to like the audit firm, since we are a small agency and few staff. So some of our segregation of duties, that's part of how we mitigate that, is to have board members as signatures so that they're seeing, you know, what the expenditures are and that sort of thing.
Okay.
Yeah, there are very few agencies, but we frankly, with such a small staff and internal controls, we just, directors come in for signatures. And you kind of learn what's going on, and it's, you know, it's pretty routine.
Exactly.
And you go, when there's a really large check made out to some unusual place. And those grant funds are fun to sign. You get $1 million. Entertaining. All right, that's credit card expenditures on 33. This goes back to my fear that when you give someone a credit card, you have all sorts of problems, and we need to report on it.
Not in detail if you want to review those.
No, okay. And he's got them, they're here, but you kind of see that there was a lunch or whatever. Sometimes they can get out of control. This staff is particularly good and whatever, but that's why we put it there, so that every expenditure through a credit card, let's just say in the past, was it Cathedral City that had every employee had a credit card?
I think Palm Desert had.
Yeah. And it was kind of a problem. So, anyways.
So we have two cards, and who has them?
I have one, and then the former CEO had one. So we're going to close that account, but we need to move the $10 charge off of that account to so that we. But initially, there's two cards. So the CEO and the CFO have one.
And then that's probably more than you want to hear, but I'm just trying to help you get up to speed on things.
Thank you. My
sadly, I've been looking at it for a long time. So that's that Las Palmas Medical Plaza check registers there, which is basically signs and bug killers and things like that, because it's a building. The RPP on page 35, that's the old retirement protection plan for employees prior to the lease. And what has shocked me over the years is, I think it started, was it 300 or 275?
Yeah, there was well over.
And they never left.
I think closer to 400.
Nobody ever left. Mm-hmm. And it's starting to, age is catching up and people are retiring. And
it's hard to see a little bit of that.
It's starting to go down. But it what was shocking is how long tenured many of those employees are, which is.
Yeah, some of them go back to 1970s, 1980s.
Yeah. Which is fantastic. That says a lot of good things about a lot of people. Okay.
Are any healthcare workers?
What's that?
Hardy healthcare.
Yeah, yeah. Very dedicated.
Yeah.
Mr. Hardy.
Then the last thing is the grant payment schedule there. That just shows you know, where we are with grants and budgets, and look for your favorite grant in there and see where they're at. Any questions on the financial statements there?
And maybe just to highlight on the grant schedule for new members is the $10 million on line two, which is the MOU for CVAG regarding CD Link. So that's our largest exposure or commitment at this point. And at some point, CVAG will be approaching the district to look for some of those funds to start to be expended. So, No, because they have some requirements that they've had to meet, some conditions and that. And so I will get you that so that you're updated on what the MOU is on the CD Link.
So when you go to the balance sheet, grant, that's on page 22. That grants payable long term is that the 22 account 2281, the 10,147?
Correct.
And so when you look at your cash and your commitments, you got to take 10 million out right away. So when you think you have money, you don't have money, unless for some reason we're to change the grant.
So you're very Mr. Realist.
I'm a bit of a bummer when it comes to that. I didn't mean that to you. That was me imagining I was talking to my wife and said, what are you, crazy? Which was completely inappropriate, but it wasn't directed at you, so I apologize. I probably leave the room. But that's what's going on there. So anyways, we need an action to approve the financial reports. Is there a motion to that effect?
Yes, I'll move.
Sid Olovic?
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? No. Ernie, yes. I mean, I'm for it, so none opposed. Las Palmas Medical Plaza marketing proposal.
Okay, so built into our budget this year for Las Palmas Medical Plaza, we included a marketing budget to be able to work with and helping promote leasing out or renting the vacant facility or suites that we have at the Medical Plaza. Presently, we have three suites that are around 1,000 square feet that are available for leasing, and we wanted to engage with a broker or person that could help us with that marketing process. So it's essentially a 6% commission on the lease rate. So we gave an example at the bottom there under the fiscal impact for 1,024 square foot space would be approximately $6,000. We do have a marketing budget of $17,000 for the year. We would like to utilize that opportunity to engage with the broker and see if we can get these additional spaces rented. We are at 93.7% occupied, so we only have a few, I'd say three spaces that are currently available. So asking for your approval.
What's usually the vacancy rate? Is it usually better than that, or is that 93 is pretty good?
That's actually pretty good. We have had some times when it's been quite low. It's really, you know, a prime location. It's directly across the from the hospital. So it is kind of prime medical office space. We do have a little bit of a disadvantage when it comes to, we offer some tenant improvements as incentives or for providers to lease there. But because we are a governmental agency, any of the tenant improvements also include prevailing wage rates, so the tenant improvement costs are higher than would typically be in other facilities. So sometimes we have to compete against that sort of thing. So
sometimes. Do you only offer that the tenant improvement and it's multi-year? Like, what's the lease rate usually?
For a three-year lease, we're currently doing $1.65 a foot base rate. For a five-year lease, $1.45 a foot, and then we have a 62 cent per foot camping.
And the tenant improvements are the same at either regardless of?
Typically we offer for a 3-year, it's usually $7 a foot, and then 5-year is a $12 a foot. But we've also had the fire sprinkler installation that is being required of new tenants going in. So we have typically kind of bumped that up to help incentivize getting the utilities to help offset their cost in putting that part into it.
Is there a motion to approve that?
So I'll move to motion.
Second.
Second, but I have one more question.
Please.
Did you consider other agents, or is this the only one that you reached out to? Is that pretty comparable to others asking?
It's kind of the standard. And they, this particular individual has done work in this area, so he knows the market quite well. So.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Okay, motion on the floor. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, Kaufman Hall Strategic Planning.
Okay, so the this was discussed at prior board meeting as far as engaging with Kaufman Hall, again, who has done significant work in the past couple of years with the district board with regarding to planning for facilities, programs, and services. And we would like to engage the service again with Kaufman Hall to do probably would be 3 study sessions with the board. We currently have the first study session scheduled for April 23rd at 3:00. And would like to bring this proposal and letter of engagement forward to the committee for approval. So it's $30,000 per session, and anticipating potentially 2 to 3 hour sessions. For a total estimate of $90,000 plus expenses.
Is there a cap on expenses?
No cap, just reasonable expenses for what they do with travel and meals, etc.
I know it's a specialty that I know that the board, the comments that I heard at, when they made their presentation, they were very favorable. Would there be an issue? Have you had an issue with expenses being overly excessive?
No. No, we review them in the accounting department. We look for reasonableness with, travel expenses, meals, etc. So, and they're kind of the experts in what we're doing, and they have the history with us, and I definitely would recommend approval.
They kind of know how to value hospitals. It's pretty unique.
I move approval.
There's a motion for a second.
Sorry.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? None. There we go. We're adjourned from that.
Okay.
And we're the foundation. This will be quick. Let's call the foundation, the F&A Committee and Hospital Governing and Operations Committee. Call to order. Is it a motion to approve the agenda?
Second.
All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Public comment? Good. Motion to approve the minutes of February 12th. Moved. Second. All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
CEO.
No report on the foundation side.
Financial statements 4 through 13. Any questions about those?
With the foundation, it's pretty light and mild with the activity that's going on under the foundation. So it's, we're above budget, pros and cons to that. Some is because we haven't expended part of what we've, or from the commitment side on the grant expense, the $300,000 that we've committed to some East Valley or the expanded area grant funding. But we are working through that with program committee. There's several listening forum sessions that staff has been extremely involved with in the community, across the expanded area community, gaining input from local residents on their feedback, more particularly to our four focus areas, actually the three main focus areas of our strategic plan. And we'll be utilizing that information and helping guide the commitments of the $300,000 to the expanded area.
Was the additional cost to actually do the expansion, were those costs taken into account when we were formulating the budget originally, or were they?
We've incorporated like cost of estimated cost for like the LAFCO fees, which we haven't been billed yet. I don't even know what they're going to come up with that, but we do have a budget in there to accommodate on the district side. As well as we do have budget in here for, you know, some marketing communications, as well as office rent under the district side for the office lease that we have at the RAP Foundation.
And the mapping and all that is all included?
Yeah, so we've already, yes. Most of that was done prior fiscal year with the LAFCO application.
For the new zoning,
we do have budget in here for the consultant for the new zoning. I'm sorry, but you meant for entirely for the expansion. So, which with regard to that, good point with the rezoning, we do have two sample maps that the demographer has just drafted, and those are actually, I believe they're uploaded to the website as of today, and we will be publishing advertisements in local newspapers, both here and the expanded area, in Spanish as well, and those will be out there available for community members to review those draft maps, and these are just to kind of start generating the communication. There's, you know, certainly open to the community for their feedback on how those boundaries are defined.
Does the committee get like a proposed budget or for the new fiscal year, which is it starts July 1st, right?
July 1st, and we will, staff will be bringing a proposed budget if the May Finance Committee meeting.
Thank you.
And along those lines, Peter Young, who is our former CFO, I've engaged with him to help us out internally with budgeting and some audit functions and some other things that we need some assistance with. And since we're in the F&A committee realm, our accounting manager, Stephen Hike, is soon to be a father again, number two. Child is on his way, and so Stephen will be taking a little time off once the newborn arrives, and so Peter will be assisting in his absence as well. So.
So I don't think we voted on the financial statements.
Not yet.
Any further questions? So is there a motion to approve?
So
moved. Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Other matters? None?
No.
We're adjourned.
Have a good one.
Sure.
Okay. That's actually one of the things I wanted to talk about is I reviewed that budget and I looked at what the consultant said. And I think that we have to have another opinion. I don't know if
Which budget are you referring to?
On the foundation, the construction of that. Because really, we could have a nonprofit rehabilitation center that would generate a lot of revenue for the district. So I think that I'm commenting because I also did a review of the number of people in the district, and there's 400,000, of which 30% of them are seniors who need disability senior services. If we created the rehab center, we would be generating about $30 million per month for the district. So you could actually have a revenue generating
for $30 million a month?
Yeah, in Medicare services. So I think that there's another perspective, which is it could be an expense to the district, but it also could be like the hospital. You could be generating revenue like the hospital generates by creating.
Yeah, you've got information, and so a couple of things. Yeah. Probably should have done that some public comments, but this is pretty open committee.
Yeah, I know, I'm trying to
figure out. Gotcha, you're good. And the subject, come
yeah,
on.
They're all over.
But you've got material you're giving us, which is good. And this sounds like a discussion we need to have with the board, and pretty worthwhile.
Right.
Yeah. As we think through the strategy, the one thing I point out to people is when we expanded the healthcare district, we got no additional money. And only one set of taxpayers pay. And so as we do facilities, then we have to look at bonding and things like that.
Yeah.
And so
well, we have a very interesting. I don't even think that I think there's another way we can generate revenue.
We'd be thrilled if there was a way to find money.
Yeah. So do I
speak I'd be
to,
thrilled.
Do I speak to Chris first? Because I'm trying to figure out who I talk to propose a revenue generation model.
You can send a letter up here, he'll get it to us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I'm going to make an appointment because it's kind of difficult to explain.
Our problem is as elected officials, let's just say you and I had lunch.
Okay, good.
Now I got a report that I had lunch with you, everything I did and what it's about. And conceivably, unless the lawyer's there, I probably can't act on your decision, depending on
the nature of what's going on. Oh, yeah, no, I get that. Yeah, I just figure out how to...
In our strategic planning, or some proposal, is a way to get something on the table here, or even a grant request through our process to study the thing. Something like that.
I
would actually like for her to meet with Chris, because there's a lot of information that he can kind of just synthesize, what is the size, what is the investment, what is the staffing, all those kind of questions that if he can kind of look at what you have and then generate all these questions that would help us at the appropriate time for you to bring it to the board for a presentation.
Yeah, and I'm speaking from, I was the rehab services director for the district hospital in San Diego, and we had a district
rehabilitation
center. Sharp Aurora. And Sharp, I was the district rehab services director for three hospitals, Sharp Memorial, Sharp Grossmont, and Rio, and then we also had a SNF. So the district paid a lot of money by investing in district type of health facilities. So when I came here, I'm like, this will be fun.
Right.
But it's like, I think it's a new way to look at how do we have the district actually work. It's going to be working doing healthcare, and in doing that, we're going to generate revenue. So it's a different perspective. It's the time of healthcare reform, so I don't blame anyone. I think everyone, the district hospitals are fabulous, by the way. I've been at Eisenhower, they saved my life. So I would like to talk to Chris, and then we can come back with, another alternative might be to create a solution for the charity cases that actually make us money.
Yeah, I'm curious to find out if there's other entities that are considering it. Is this something that
Sharp is already doing it?
So you
have a model. They're making money hands over foot. And if you want to look at the Sharp Memorial or Sharp Rehabilitation Center website, that is a district rehab center that I was at. The positions on there, some of them I hired. Okay, so I looked at it last night. Please look at Sharp Memorial Rehabilitation Center, because that is a district rehab center. Okay, so it's Grossmont. And I'm like, it's not a bad thing, it's a good thing. And that's, I'm trying to meet with the district hospitals to say, hey, look, we can actually help the district a lot. and add something in addition to what the county is doing. So thank you. I'll talk to Chris.
Okay, that's my part.
All right. We're adjourned unless you feel otherwise. Meeting adjourned.